Welcome to Uncharted Living. We're your hosts, Christine, Rebecca, and Ty. We are life coaches who are committed to the road less traveled. Join us each week for thought-provoking and entertaining conversations, all designed to help you create your own map. Uncharted Living. It's just the beginning. Don't be afraid to get life started. Jump off the map. All right. Today we're continuing a conversation that we started in episode 5. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, I recommend pause here and head to episode 5 first. Today we're talking about how you can manipulate your energy. Hi, Ty.
I'm excited. What's up, Becca? This is so exciting. You are the master of this, and I will be the student, which I'm excited for because I usually am the teacher. So I'm here for being the student.
It's just the two of us today, so we're going to have some fun. Well, I wanted to, just for the sake of our conversation with you and I, just give like a super brief overview of our previous conversation, although, you know, everyone will be able to go back and listen if they want a refresher. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is the laws of the universe, or the hermetic laws. And we identified in our conversation last time that this is really what we're talking about is energy, right? Mm-hmm. So law number one is divine oneness. So that's the conversation we had prior, was just talking about how everything is interconnected and everything is made of energy. Do you remember that?
I remember that. I just listened to it. And it's awesome, and also a little bit of a head scratcher. So if you guys, our fellow humans, want to listen to that, go for it. But we're going to, I think, tell me where I'm wrong, we're going to kind of lean on that a little bit, where we talk a lot about energy, what it is, and how we don't really realize how interconnected we all are in energetic flows throughout the universe. Is that right, Becca?
Yes, that's right. But I'll take it a little step further as well, because we're all coaches here in this space. And how I use this tool is actually bringing it down to the level of like, how can I use this knowledge as a tool, right? Mm-hmm. A tool to that really impacts like my day to day. So for anyone who's on, you know, a personal growth journey, if that's something that's important to you, listeners at home, the things that we're talking about can help and tie into that process for you, and can help give you a little more language or help you understand in a scientific capacity, but also in a spiritual capacity, what's actually happening and what is at play through the process, which was helpful for me.
I think it could be helpful for all of our fellow humans to a certain extent, because what I love about your laws of the universe, Becca, is that they all, you can take whatever track you want. You can go all the way around the circle in spirituality or all the way in science, and then watch them come together. And it's like mind blown, because whatever ilk you of a human you are to get there, they're all going to this, it's all part of this same cycle.
Yeah. And like with any tool, use what works for you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all heard that thing of like, you know, as soon as someone learns how to use a hammer, they see every problem as a nail, right?
Exactly.
That's what we don't want to do here. So just be conscious of that and use this as it works for you. So awesome. Law number one we've talked about is the law of divine oneness. Today we're going to talk about the law of correspondence. And we're not talking about writing letters or emails. We're talking about how things relate to one another. The law of vibration, which has three subcategories under that. So we're going to talk about change, attraction, and perpetual transmutation. Everything's connected. Everything is made up of the same source energy, basically. Mm-hmm. So let's dive in. Law number two is the law of correspondence, which basically says your inner world dictates your outer world. And if you zoom in or if you zoom out, there are patterns that mm-hmm. repeat. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we see this in patterns that show themselves within the human body. We see it in our visible world, and we see it in the actual like galaxy universe. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one example I have of this is a hexagon. Mm. And a hexagon, if you look at blood cells from certain angles, they have six sides. And so it forms this shape when you look at it from a certain angle mm-hmm. that will replicate a hexagon. We also see this in things like beehives, right? So in our natural world, we can visibly see these things in nature. Mm-hmm. But what I did not know is that Saturn has this jet stream on its north pole. And you can look at NASA's, we're going to put all this in the show notes with links to all of these things you can go to, but NASA has a really cool video you can watch. It's like Saturn from the North Pole angle, and it shows this jet stream circulating, and it is a hexagon shape as it circulates through. So I'll pause. What
I have learned through working with, you know, sixth grade and eighth grade science, that the hexagon is the most sturdy of all polygons. So I was excited to hear this because it is within nature again and again and again. And that's exactly why a beehive, that bees have made their cells into a hexagon shape, because they can have the most mass inside them, the most volume, but also they're the hardest to destroy. So if they fall on the ground or get smushed by a bear or whatever happens to them, they're the sturdiest of all polygons.
I didn't know that. That's very cool. I love that. I think it's interesting to look at some of these. So we're gonna take this into, so we'll apply this idea, right? So you can understand that this pattern lives within you. You can see it in the natural world, and also it exists in space, right? So that you can understand that scope. Mm. But we want to talk about energy in the same way and capacity. And what I like about this law in particular is that it really parlays into the next few that we're going to discuss today. And I wanted to bring them to you all together because it's so hard to talk about them individually.
Right.
So the idea behind the law of correspondence basically is that, you know, anything that exists on one level of reality mm-hmm. also exists at all levels, rather.
And are you talking about right now, are you talking about more abstract or more, you know, like we're talking about hexagons as in something you can see, but I'm mm-hmm. getting the feeling that we're going into a level of energy and what you feel inside also colors the way you see the exterior.
So we are taking this to sort of an unseen realm, right? Which is mm-hmm. energy. Outside circumstances don't actually create our feeling states. Feeling states create external circumstances, is something that she says often. I'm asking everyone at home to think about is why these things work and why it's so important when you're on your own healing journey to be able to consider that there's real energetic ripples that happen behind thought work, mm-hmm. that happen behind shifting and transmuting your energetic vibration, right? So it does tie into manifestation, but what I'm never going to do is sit here and be like, you know, manifest, you know, $1 million, right? I mean, great if you want to do that. But what I'm talking about is more of a personal journey experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, in preparing for this, I looked a couple things up, and there's a quote by Albert Einstein, which says the distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion. So in that way, what I'm hearing from you is the illusion is what we pick. We pick the illusion. We pick the reality that we are seeing because as an observer, it's only real to us in whatever way we perceive it. And the thought work you're talking about, and you know, when I work with clients as well, is do you have a choice in interpreting what is happening as something that is, quote, good or bad? And there's a lot of black and white thinking in the world that makes it a little bit trappy. There's so many more shades. And I think that what we're really doing a lot of with the laws of the universe is offering language and offering shades of differentiation that aren't just good, bad. You know, I like that person. I mean, we're not in a Disney freaking film. It's not like bad guy versus good guy.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yes. And where we see so many, where we've both, because you and I have talked about this, is like our points of change happen when we feel so fixed maybe on one certain outcome, but when we can take a step back from that and look at some different angles, we see that there's more fluidity in the situation than we originally perceived. Mm-hmm. And so we see that in the coaching space. We see that with our clients. Mm-hmm. It's a really powerful thing when you understand the law of correspondence, not just that everything is interconnected through energetic, also that there are patterns. And what we're going to talk about here next is that you have the power to manipulate that. So you very much have the power to look at the patterns that are showing up in your own personal life and do something about it.
So this becomes like jumping the track, what I call it, of your neurological synapse path. Because if you're just perceiving everything that comes out of this person's mouth is always going to be critical, you're just getting that groove in your brain reinstated. And what you're saying is, as life coaches, maybe pick a different groove. Maybe that person doesn't want to criticize you every single time. And in that way, you can be the liberator from your own suffering.
Oh, yeah. Well said. You just like tied it up with a bow.
Yay. Vibration thing.
Okay. So we're going to move right into that. Okay. So vibration is the next law. So we've got law number one, divine oneness. Law number two, correspondence. Law number three is vibration. And what we know about vibration is that everything is energy. And because every single thing has its own unique frequency, vibration is a really powerful piece of this puzzle because everything is vibrating at its own frequency. Everything is in motion.
And when you say everything, do you mean things that we can see or things that we feel? Or
both.
Okay. I was afraid you're going to say both.
Why were you afraid of that?
Because my brain feels like that's a lot.
It is a lot. And you don't have to take it all in at once.
Okay.
Would you rather go on the feeling track or the what we can see track?
Well, let me try to recap the what we can see track from episode one. Well, it's episode five, but Law of the Universe episode one, which was you said that everything is made out of energy and which can neither be destroyed or created. And it's just moving through us and it's vibrating at different frequencies in different matter. So now we're talking about things we can see. So things that are moving less are static. Things that are moving more are in motion or active. I know, again, at a seventh grade level, when atoms start to move faster, they create movement. Like heat is a catalyst for atoms moving faster, which causes water to boil.
Right. And that process transmutes it, water from a liquid into a steam, right?
Into a gas.
So
are you saying transmute means a change of matter, meaning the three matters that we kind of know are solids, liquids, and gases?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is let's think of it in that term right now. Think of it in that capacity right now.
Okay.
Whereas there's a catalyst, there's an instigator to speed up the frequency, and the frequency speeding up is the thing that actually turns it into its other part. That makes sense.
Right. Because me putting a kettle of water on a flame is the flame heating up the water. And then if I just left it there all day, it would just become, it would break the chemical bond of H2O and it would become H and O in the air again.
Mm-hmm.
And are you, so now that I have that in my mind, how does that work for thoughts and feelings?
Okay. Well, can I also talk about color first?
Oh yeah.
So colors are different frequencies of light. Colors are just different frequencies of light, right? So red is the lowest frequency and violet is the highest frequency on that spectrum.
So for fellow humans who might think like me, we're talking about like with you put light through a prism and it refracts or it spreads out the light into a rainbow. I mean, that's literally what a rainbow is. Is that right, Becca?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Yes.
So I am taking that same principle and applying it to our in what we feel in terms of sensations and emotions. It's the same thing. It's just different energetic vibrations. So there's no value placed on any of them. In the sense that something is good or bad or right or wrong, it's just different frequency.
Sure.
Okay. So the law of vibration, right? So everything's in motion and everything is its own unique frequency. But the next sub law here is that the law of change. Everything is in constant motion. Everything is changing. So where we get stuck is we really like things to be fixed, right? Or we assume and we expect people to show up in a certain way that is standard to what you were saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can cause more suffering for our experience. When we are more open to recognizing that change is just a constant, it's something that is part of our world. It's happening all around us all of the time, and it's happening to us all of the time. We can think differently about the things we even put in our bodies, our intakes and our outtakes, because things are changing all of the time. I'm not bringing words into this.
No, I'm with you, Becca. At this point, when you say the word things, you mean two things. You mean both physical things, as in we intake an apple, we intake a sandwich, but we also intake what we perceive as, quote, good or, quote, bad or conflict or harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about both of those things? Because in a way, we're consuming both of those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why people say you are the sum of like the five people you spend the most time with, because you're intaking ideas, you're intaking concepts and thoughts. What you put into your physical body dictates your energy level. We have more serotonin receptors in our gut than we do in our brain. So what
does that mean?
So it just means the things that we, I'm not putting any value on anything here. I'm just saying to be aware that similarly to what you put into your body impacts how you feel, right? Because if you're putting something in your body that is nutritious and your body can break it down easily, you have the flow. That's why the way that your body is able to like give off serotonin or those like, or receive it, right, is more fluid and more flow. So you feel better energetically speaking as well. So, so I guess I'm tying, I do want to tie the two together. Like what's happening in the physical, we can see that as a way to understand how energy is received and then changed or transmuted. And then it exists in a different form because then we're able to show up in the world and do things and offer our services and be parents and children and coaches and business leaders, community members, right? These things matter. This is where we have impact.
And what I like about what you're saying is we're not giving value to the apple because everybody digests an apple differently and at different points of their life and at different points of their day.
Right.
Because we all are in a cyclical lifestyle that, you know, if we're in a place that has seasons, you know, apples may be in season and that's what your body would want. But as a child, if I had an apple on an empty stomach, I got violently pain, like just huge cramps in my stomach. And it's a very common thing to give to a child if they're hungry. And so I just suffered a lot. And I don't even know if I told people like, this is going to hurt my tummy. And now I can eat like 14 apples, like no problem. Like so there definitely is an ebb and flow of your life, right? That apples could be bad for you now and apples could be good for you later. And also, if you take that, when you're talking about going in and going out, then all of a sudden I'm like mind blown. A person could be good for me now and person could be bad for me later. Or exercise could have been, you know, I might have, you know, ran as a child. I was maybe on track team, not me. I'm just fictional me. And maybe as a 49-year-old, that's maybe not the right move for me now.
I love that you're highlighting this. Yes, because that's also how I like to look at this. And I just call, and just for everyone at home and for you, Ty, just to be really clear, when I say like personal growth journey, it's like I say it that way because it's so unique for every single person. For some people that includes a spiritual component, for other people it doesn't. For other people it's like I just want to provide for my family, or I have these, you know, career goals, and I value all of those things equally. So I just use that term to kind of encompass a lot of different things, really meaning when you're intentional about wanting to recognize where you are now and knowing that you want to be in a different place.
Well, it's, and also I would say I like the term personal growth journey because no matter what, you are a person and you're growing and you're on a journey, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. So, I mean, right.
Me, you don't have to like, not to, you know, be too cliche, but it, you know, you don't have to be trying to find yourself to be on a personal growth journey. You just are because you were born and you're going
to die. Just like your body changing is a journey. Yeah.
Guess what? You're on this roller coaster. If you bought the ticket or not, it's what you're doing. And I think for us as life coaches, it's that acceptance of, oh, we can make our personal journey one of growth. Mm-hmm. Instead of one of stagnance, which also has to do a lot of with, you said, the law of vibration and change.
Yeah.
So in that way, you can either put your head in the sand and just kind of hold on to what you think you want to hold on to, or you can kind of put your feet in front of you and go down the stream and say, oh, interesting. Life is changing. There's a different season, and embrace it and maybe learn something from it.
Yeah. Why? I mean, that's one option. And that you have the capacity to kind of own or bring ownership over your sphere, your own energetic domain is a really big piece of this puzzle. And for me, that's where change begins. And I'm not saying that, like, if we're seeing on a global scale, discord, right? And we're experiencing discord internally, we may not know where to start with the global scale, but we certainly can take some of these principles and apply them to our own personal life and start here.
Well, that goes along with the life coaching idea that you can't change other people. You can only change you.
Yeah,
so exactly. We're going to use these laws to benefit our own lives and let everybody take care of themselves.
Do the thing. Everyone do your thing. Yeah.
Everybody's responsible for themselves is our family motto. So we're going to go with that.
I like that. I'm going to keep that.
You can totally have it.
The next law here under vibration is the law of attraction. And this is the one that you hear everyone talking about. So this is basically like what you focus on, you amplify. And almost like we're magnets, we're energetic magnets. So whatever frequency we are vibrating at is the frequency that we will attract to us, which is why when you said this person might be good for me at this point in my life, but maybe next week isn't, or in a three years from now isn't, or whatever it is, because people are changing and moving and operating at different frequencies. And so you might find a lot of partnership with someone and then find out in a few years that you've grown at different rates or things change. And so understanding that, I think, releases a lot of this whole guilt of like, oh, I did it wrong, or I, you know, or it shouldn't be this way. I've seen it. I've always been told it should be X, Y, Z, right? So anyway, I'll leave that. I'll offer that.
In my coaching practice, Becca, I have a very distinct alarm system for any sentence that has the word should.
Okay, say more.
Well, if you say it shouldn't be this way, that's in direct conflict of reality. If it shouldn't be raining right now, and it is. So you're creating your own suffering if that brings you pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, who said it shouldn't? Who's the master of should and shan't? Like, how is that a thing unless it's a human created idea? Does that make sense?
So it does. Yeah.
If I'm very wary, if you're thinking to yourself, fellow humans at home, you know, I should have eaten something different for breakfast. I should go to this wedding across the country that's going to cost me $5,000. The word should for me in my coaching practice is a little beacon that you might need to drill into. Oh, really? You should or you shouldn't?
It's just this like warning light of like, hey, look, let's re-examine this thought.
Yes, exactly. Nice. Exactly. And a lot of times it does release something deeper and also release some of the suffering if you kind of dig into that.
I love that. Law of attraction, whatever you focus on, you amplify. You already said this so perfectly, but what I was going to highlight is like the present is always perfect because it just exists. So where we end up resisting what is present or what just is here for us is kind of where we get ourselves caught up. It's the expression of energy in real time. And there are ways in which you can, you know, tap into some higher frequencies. But what I wanted to highlight is I touched on this a little bit in the last episode, part one, but we're able to actually measure the frequency of certain emotions. And so where this can be helpful for you is, and we'll put this on our Instagram. So folks, there's a little graph that you can look at. We did not make this. We'll cite the source. Shame vibrates. It's like the lowest frequency emotion that we can feel. And it vibrates at a 20. Mm-hmm. Fear bumps you up to a 100. There's more in between there, but you'll have to look at it to really digest. Mm-hmm. So fear vibrates at a 100. Anger is 150. Neutrality is about 250. And like a willingness or an openness is 310. Mm-hmm. Love is 500. Peace is 600. And enlightenment would be like 700 to 1,000. And that would be the top range. Mm-hmm. So this is good news, because as a human being, you get to experience this whole scale. So none of these are in and of themselves any less value. You just need to understand, if you are experiencing a lot of fear in your life, then that's just data for you, right? That's mm-hmm. you can understand that if that's what you're experiencing and feeling, likely that's also what you're putting out there, and things that you're attracting back with this law of attraction.
Mm. And does it, I think there was another law, but I'm getting confused, that there was the idea that one cannot exist without the other. So yes. When you think about value, you know, it's not right. Good vibes only.
Right.
Because guess what? Without, you know, if you only had good vibes, how would you differentiate any right. other vibes? We're talking totally. About literal vibrations, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's the law of polarity you're talking about. It was the spectrum we talked about with hot and cold. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can't have one without the other. And everything in between is just a variation of lesser degrees of one or the other. Same thing here with emotion. It's just maybe lesser degrees on that spectrum, on that scale.
It reminds me of being abroad and being told, why do Americans always insist on having a good day? Why is it like, just, you don't even know the person at the cashier and they say, have a great day. And you say, you too. Like it's such a funny concept to people outside this country of, really, every day has to be great. And I mean, it's very just colloquial and polite is the way I sure. look at it. And it, you know, it's not like, have a crappy day. Okay. You know, so, but there is kind of an American aggression towards good days. And yeah. I think it devalues the not so good days. And, you know, sometimes I'll say to my kids, have a good-ish day, because I don't want to like pressure them into, I hope today, you know. Also, I mean, they're t-shirt things, they're bumper stickers, right? Live your best life.
Mm-hmm.
Do your best. I'm like, really? Do I need to do my best every single second? Because if I'm doing my best every single second, then that no longer is my best by definition. So we, as humans, get to do our best and our worst and have good days and crappy days. And in a way, what we're talking about is that is the rainbow of our life. That is the season. And by us constantly, aggressively going towards the positive, it's like only looking at one color of the rainbow.
Yeah. How monotonous would that be? It's like, you know,
it's not living to a certain degree, right? It's like, So, and I just think that that's the space that we as, you know, Uncharted Living podcast want to shed literal light. We're doing puns now, you know, light on is you don't have to be happy every day. You know, a lot of parents I work with say, I just want my kids to be happy. And I think what, as life coaches, you and I have talked about is there's a difference between happiness and contentment, or happiness and peace. So this is a good tool, I think. I mean, it's certainly helping me right now, you know, to kind of dissect those ideas in these laws.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I haven't been able to get away from this whole thing. And I think why I want to have more conversations about this, because I want more people to talk with about it. because it ties in a lot of what I've felt in my life and what we all and everyone at home too, like what you feel, like your emotions and your feelings are valid and they are data for you. So to blow past something or to resist one of them or to, you know, not want to experience the full range, to me is a disservice to your experience. Like, I guess and again, I want to be careful that I'm not like, if that's where you're at, that's where you're at. So I have been there, right? Where you just kind of need to like one day at a time. And we see that regularly in our practices. But when we're able to allow for the full spectrum and realize and recognize that this is part of the beauty of it all, we're not minimizing.
What it's making me think of, Becca, this conversation is a lot of my practice with parents is simply listening to their children in the moment without fixing it. So
yeah, which is, God, as a parent, so hard.
It's hard because we're going against the grain of American culture. We're going against the grain of what a lot we see with our neighbors, our friends, maybe what our own parents, you know, did as coping mechanisms is, you don't need to be that upset because, you know, you can't win them all. Well, telling me that I don't need to be upset when I am upset not only negates my feelings and it makes me feel unseen, but it also is kind of extracting that spectrum that we're talking about from having real disappointment or real fear or real sadness. Because if you start to minimize that, then you're starting to minimize the opposite, right? Is what you're saying in these laws.
Yeah.
You don't fully feel terrible, then how do you know when you fully feel joyful or ecstatic or any other exciting word?
What you're making me think of is a pendulum. So if you have a pendulum but you only allow it to swing just a little bit to the left or the right, that's your range, right? This is kind of what Joycey was talking about, around your, what did she call it? Window of tolerance, right?
Yes. So
that's your window of tolerance then.
Right. Right. And then she was on, I think, episode one or two. She was very...
very early on we had her. She was amazing. But so in this case, if you can allow that pendulum to swing even just a little bit further, you're going to experience more fullness, but it will be more of all the things, you know, but that's just part of being human. It's kind of my take. And I think what we're both saying.
Yeah. And what I love about the pendulum is... it will, if you allow it to swing 5 degrees to the right, it will by nature, by the laws of literal the universe, gravity, et cetera, it'll do the exact, it'll swing the exact 5 degrees to the left. There is no pendulum that only swings on the positive side. That's not a thing. That doesn't exist.
Yeah, but we see folks, we do see this and we've experienced this where we didn't, I'll speak for myself. I've experienced this where I didn't know that anger was available to me.
Say more.
So because I wasn't able to feel like to allow myself to feel that rage and that anger, I also, my pendulum was just smaller. The swing was smaller. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Totally. It totally does. And you know, it's a lot to digest in your brain because everybody's pendulum is unique and also will change throughout the day, the year, your life.
Right. All right. So that brings us to the final law that we're going to talk about today, Ty, and that is the law of perpetual transmutation. And this falls under vibration for me because it's so interconnected. This basically means that energy can be altered, transmuted, slowed down, or sped up. And the way that we do this in our own energetic domain is through our awareness. So even just having this conversation and talking about it and recognizing that everything's vibrating at a frequency, what we feel in our bodies, which is why body work is so important in the coaching space, right? Helping people identify what's present for them is such body a big work tool.
Tuning into the messages your body is telling.
Yes, I don't. That's what you mean by body work. Yeah, I should. Yes.
It's not like soft tissue work.
No, we're not massage therapists.
Okay. Got it.
We're not chiropractors. We're not any of that. But we are.
We like them.
We love them and we work with them and we refer to them because those things are amazing. But what I'm talking about here is. This is actually my favorite one to know about because it gives us ownership. It explains why we have control over our own energetic domain. And that is a huge piece of the puzzle for me because I don't want to sugarcoat anything for anyone. I don't want to, you know, I'm always constantly, which what you were saying, I think you touched on this earlier, like always bringing things back to our own responsibility, our own ownership. And because this is our own personal journey, we're the only ones that get to experience it. And we're the only ones that have the power to manipulate it, right? In this way. And so this is an important piece of the puzzle. It's like when you are, so we just talked about attraction and how the different emotions have different frequencies, right? Mm-hmm. When you are recognizing that something triggers you and you're angry, so you're at 150 on that scale. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're like, okay, I feel angry about this. There's a reason why I feel angry about this. This is where perpetual transmutation comes into play. I can allow myself in that moment with my awareness, knowing that I have full control over this step of the process, what happens next. Feeling angry isn't a bad thing or a negative thing. It's data. It's information. Something has bumped up against my energetic sphere. It's impacted me in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Now I have some decisions to make. And this is where I think the coaching space is such an amazing container because this is where we can really start to get curious about why that happened, about what's present, and we can start to re-examine some of the thoughts and some of the beliefs around that. So through your awareness and through your actual intentional thought work, we can choose to hang on to a thought and hold that, or we can choose to just let that go. And for me, that's what meditation is. It's not even trying to like eliminate thoughts. It's like the process of letting thoughts go and allowing them to pass by, noticing them without judgment, but allowing them to pass by.
So the main word I heard is letting them go, not forcing them off, but just letting them float by.
As one option. Yes.
And that, Becca, didn't you tell us in a different episode that an emotion, the longest it can last is 90 seconds?
Yes.
So this reminds me of that conversation, mm-hmm. which is what I get out of it is if you don't fight that emotion, if you don't judge or deem it on a value scale, if you just allow that emotion to go through you, you can know in 90 seconds it will pass.
Right.
So that's what you're saying when you're saying let it pass is not like pry its fingers off your raft and like, there's no room here for madness. There's no room here for uncomfortable, but I'm what you're saying is in the meditation space too is I'm feeling angry. I am noticing I'm feeling angry. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It, the first step is noticing and being able to name it. And then you can move on from there. But those are the first two, those are the building blocks. But similarly to where, you know, we were talking about water, like heating up water and how that will turn it from the liquid into the gas. This is that process for me, or how I understand it. So perpetual transmutation, this is where we have the ability to change the trajectory of where we want to head next. And that's what awareness is. It's just constantly bringing ourselves back to that same moment, like the present moment, and being like, okay, here's all the data. Now what?
Right.
Right. And that's the journey. That's the process. That's the growing process, is constantly being like, hey, this is what's present. I'm not going to judge it. I'm going to allow it. But I have to also recognize and know that I have control over what I do with it.
So to a certain degree in that metaphor, are you saying that I'm watching the water boil that transmutates into a gas? Is your suggestion that I can turn down or up the fire underneath the water? And I can control that transmutation to a certain degree.
Yes.
How?
I'm so glad you asked that. Yes. First of all, it's a multi-step process. So this isn't like a one and done thing.
Americans love, Americans love, you know, this will fix your life forever.
I know, right? Sorry, there's no magic pill. I wish there were. I have a wine background, and in winemaking, there's a really a multi-step process of converting sugar into alcohol. And if any part in that it's like conversion after conversion after conversion, and it takes months to do this, it can take some time to do this. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about transmutation, is like allow for it to be a process, first of all, and allow for it to take some time, because we don't go necessarily from vibrating at 100 all the way to enlightenment of 1,000, right? That hasn't been my experience. It's this like, I can take it from like, maybe on my line graph from a -5 to a -4. I can make it slightly better. Or I can take it from if I'm going from 1 to 10, from a 2 to a 3, I can do that. So we're talking about small steps. We're talking about keeping it super simple. Don't overwhelm it, but maybe there's one thought you can shift. Maybe there's one thought you can just look at in a different way or in a different capacity, or allow it to be full of, allow it to be something that maybe you can shift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In a tiny way.
In a tiny way. Yes. So,
because what this is bringing up for me in my, especially because I'm a person who works with a lot of young people, I have noticed that, and they have noticed too, that they don't have any patience anymore. That we live in a instant world. You know, you take a photo, you can instantly change the background. You can instantly make yourself look better. I mean, the rate at which my clients move and change, not change, just like expect things to be done in. I mean, I honestly can't even speak fast enough. They're like cutting me off. And technology, and I'm not valuing technology in a good or bad way. I'm not demonizing technology, but it has been very clear to me that technology has impacted many people's patience tolerance. They're like almost like we were talking about the window of tolerance. Mm-hmm. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller because things move faster and faster and faster. And I think what you're suggesting is fermenting wine cannot be made into a AI situation where you open ChatGPT and go, make me wine. And it's like that. And we are closer. We, as human beings who have, I mean, we actually have fermentation as one of our bodily functions. We're closer to wine than to an iPhone. And our brains are becoming these like, gimme, 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 gimme.
Yeah. Yeah. We get frustrated when we don't see results right away, or we don't see long lasting results, or we experience the same thing again, or whatever is what you're saying.
It is what I'm saying. And I'm kind of circling back to the joke of, you know, new teeth in a day. And would you like a magic pill for everything? Mm-hmm. And this is very much what we've, the hallmark of our culture. And if anything, to me, in my point of view, it's just getting exacerbated by a lack of patience, which is the direct result of a very digital experience. And what we're saying here on this episode is nature takes time. Mm-hmm. You are part of the universe that took billions of years to make. And if you can kind of take some steps back, and this is all going back to life coaching again, where are you and your lack of patience creating the friction in your life?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, and I recognize that. And there's a number of, so at this point in my practice and in my life coaching practice, I work with a lot of folks who are I do life and business coaching. So I work with a lot of people who are, who are seeing ripple effects. Well, there's a challenge presenting in the workplace or seeing ripple effects of that in their personal life now. And so this is very layered. And there isn't one quick fix, but what I like to, there's a number of things, this is a process, and there's a number of tools and things that are layered on top of one another. I like to think of this, and I refer to it as the French fry cone. Have you ever like gone to a restaurant and you've gotten like French fries in a basket, but it's like this cone?
Yeah.
And it has like the spiral that goes like all the way up, and it gets a little bit wider as it goes up, but it's like this like wrought iron.
Oh, the cone holder.
Spiral holder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I call it the French fry cone. So like you, as you go up a level, you hit the same point, right? Where you hit maybe the same challenge, but you're a level up. You've got more foundation. You have more tools. You're at a different place in your journey, and you're just going to keep doing that. And that's kind of what life is, you know? So we can embrace that as part of the journey, it's like it things kind of tend to get a little bit easier. Like, oh, this is familiar, but now I have more tools. Now I know what to do. At least I know now how to move forward.
Right.
The thing I wanted to leave with everyone at home is like, because I want to make this really practical, is highlighting Tara Brach, who has her this acronym that is just so well put together. And actually, our friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, reminded me of this. Hi, Valentine. RAIN, R-A-I-N. So here's what you can do to start allowing for this process to become more habitual or more more welcomed is to recognize what's happening. So R, allow the experience to be there just as it is. These are her words. These are Tara's words, not mine. So recognize, allow, investigate with interest and care, and nurture with self-compassion. This is a unique journey. Your process is not going to look like my process. It's not going to look like Ty's process, and Christine's process is going to be something completely different. So there's no one size fits all. And that is really important for my clients to understand and for everyone at home to understand.
Awesome. Becca, this was so fun. We did a lot, and I hope all of our fellow humans got something out of this. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram or all the things.
Yeah.
And let's just, you know, recognize that things are constantly changing. You might be different tomorrow than you are today, and that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week on Uncharted Living. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for spending another week with us. Follow us at Uncharted Living Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please like and share this episode with your favorite fellow human. Uncharted.